Okay, Parshas Miket. Vayi Miket Shnos Ayim Yamim. It was 2 years after, Yosef was, I guess, translated the Sarah Ofim and the Sarah Mashkim's dreams. You're good. Sarah Ofim's and the Sarah Mashkim's dreams. 2 years afterward, Paro Chuleim. Paro is dreaming. Vine Omed Elior. He's standing on a river. Okay, standing right by the river, that's what it's supposed to be. So the pshat is like this. Yosef was punished because he asked the Sarah Mashkim to help him out. The question is, what did he do wrong? And if it was wrong, then what was Yosef thinking when he did it in the first place? So that's the kasha. Hear the kasha?
Yeah.
It's a good kasha. What in the world was he thinking in the first place? So the Ben Ish Chai says it like this. When you're in Golis, sometimes a Kaddish Baruch Hu appears benister, in a hidden sort of a way. Not big gullowy straight out to you. He appears in a way that you never would have imagined he would appear. You just didn't see it that way. Sometimes a Kaddish Baruch Hu appears in the form of a Rasha. Meaning, it's as if there's a Rasha there. It's not a Tzaddik, it's a Rasha that comes, and he is the messenger, the emissary of God. You won't know that. So Yosef HaTzadik, when he saw that the Sarah Mashkim and the Sarah Ofim were getting involved over here, what he was thinking to himself was, well, it must be that the Sarah Mashkim and the Sarah Ofim are acting in the presence of God, because I'm in Gullus, I'm in exile, so it must be that they're doing everything for what HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have done. So he went straight up to him and he said to him, it was basically like going to a doctor to get healed. You don't have to get a Jewish doctor who's a Talmud Chacham in order to heal you. You can go even to a guy. You can go to anybody, and that would be good enough to be able to get, and that should be fine. So there was no problem with Amunah. There was no issue with him going up to that guy and asking him for help.
Right.
But here's what the Talmid Hagim says. Talmid Hagim says that a tzaddik has to realize that he is on the level where HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't let a complete Russia be the person who would be the emissary.
Question everybody always asks, but Yaakov just made the gigantic lesson before you about how he split up his camps, you know, knowing that Hashem promised you something, but he was still worried that maybe
100%. But a person has to be, you have to realize where you are and what level you're on. Yosef HaTzadik was on the level that the emissary that was going to be sent to him was not going to be a Rasha. He should have realized what kind of a level he was on. Sarah Mashkim was a Rasha, and while he was in jail, was not very chashuv. He wasn't very chashuv. So what should Yosef have done? Now listen to this pshat. He says a great pshat. He says what he should have done is he should have waited for the Sarah Mashkim to get out of jail. And then the Sarah Mashkim would have been a Sar again. He would have been a Choshev Dika person. Then such a Choshev person could be used as an emissary to get you out of jail. So what Yosef should have done is let the Sarah Mashkim out, then send him a message and say to him, hey, remember me? Can you get me out? He was right to ask. He was wrong to ask it when he was down and out. Even though he was going to get out in 3 days, he wasn't out yet. He was in a lowly matzav. And Yosef HaTzadik sort of threw himself down there, like as if he wasn't a tzaddik roy enough to have a choshev person be in charge of you or to be the emissary for you. He was a rasha. But there's another issue. You have to wait for him to be a sar. So the problem was that he asked him while he was in jail. Had he asked him just a little bit later, everything would have been perfectly fine. Now, it's very, very strange. Paro has this dream, right? He sees the 7 fat cows being eaten by the 7 skinny cows. He sees the 7 things of wheat, the big, huge things of wheat, being eaten by the little things of wheat afterward. Vayiba boker, batipoem rucho. He went crazy. Vayishlach, vayikos, kol chartum in Mitzrayim. He called all the dream interpreters of Mitzrayim. As kol chachamel, all of his wise men. Vesapar parolam eskalom, vayimposer osam leparo. Paro told him his dream and they couldn't translate his dream. I don't understand. Can you imagine if somebody would do this? Like if President Bush would get up and be like, I had a dream last night. I need everyone to tell me what it means. And he calls together every single one of the wise men throughout the entire land, gets everyone together and says, like, let's go, guys. We got to figure out what this dream means. What are you, crazy? It's a dream. How did Paro know that this dream meant anything?
It's different back then. They were much more demanding.
Do you think Paro every morning would wake up and be like, okay, so there was a chair. Like, do you think every morning he would wake up? What happened that all of a sudden, like, Tipoem Rucho? He went crazy. Oh, my gosh. I have to figure out what this dream means. And he went and he listened to the Chachamim and he wouldn't accept their interpretation. They said, good stuff. You're going to have 7 cities. They're going to be destroyed. You're going to have 7 daughters. They're going to be captured. They were saying good stuff. What happened all of a sudden that Paro just didn't get it? Also, if it was such a crazy dream, how did he sleep through it? How did he sleep through it? He went back to sleep after the first dream. Then he got back, he had another dream. If he was so crazed, why would he wait till the morning?
Well, because one of them could just be a coincidence. But then when you have another one...
Okay, so what should he do?
Like
as soon as he wakes up, in the middle of the night, he should have called the Khartoumim right then. Then, and it was in the morning, then all of a sudden he said to himself, wow, hey, that was a crazy dream. What happened? It sounds like he went back to sleep. It sounds like he went back to sleep after the second dream. Not that he went crazy after the dream. So what happened to Paro? What does he really want to figure out over here? And why do you think it was so important? And what's going on over here? And plus, what did the Khartoumim say that Paro didn't like? The Khartoumim said a good shot. Well, what did they say that Paro didn't accept? And what was that? So here we go. Rav Schwab says that Paro had he had this idea in his head. He had an idea that the strong always defeat the weak.
Right.
There's no such thing as the weak defeating the strong, as something that's skinny being able to defeat something that was fat and looks very, very healthy. Now, why do you always think that? He knew that Paro's own army in Mitzrayim, was the greatest military in the world. He knew that he had the greatest, strongest, most prepared army that there possibly was in the entire world. And it's Pashit. The Giborim always defeat the Chalashim. The Rabim always defeat the Ma'atim. The Tameim always defeat the Torim. This is what he took his push in his entire life. He always thought that those people who are strong are always going to be the ones that defeat the others. It's going to be Pashit that way. But all of a sudden, what happened in his dream? What did he see in his dream? The exact opposite was true. The skinny defeated the fat. The smaller defeated the many. Well, not, I guess the small and the many doesn't really apply in this type of a case. But it makes no sense. Dreams usually follow one of these three rules. This is what the Rabbi Nobachaya says. Either it's from food that a person eats. A person eats a certain type of food. It sends something to your head, and then you have crazy dreams afterwards because you have ice cream and pickles, spicy food, or things like that. All of a sudden, you think crazy things. That's number one. Number two, it's what you were thinking about all day long. If you were thinking about something all day long, if you were thinking about something all day long, then it'll go inside your head. Or number three, there's a message to help you. There's a message that's trying to tell you something. Now, Paro knew he hadn't eaten anything strange. He also knew that he had never thought about this before in his life. He never thought that the weak could defeat the strong. So he wasn't worried about those two things. So what must it be? Must be it's dream number three. There's a message here that's going to help me. So what's that message? The Khartoumim, all they did was they translated the dream. They translated it. Paro sat there and he said, there's a message here. When he was sleeping, and he says, stop, he thought about it and he's like, okay, it was just a dream, and he went back to sleep. When he woke up in the morning and he realized, wait a second, I've never thought about this before in my life. And I didn't eat anything weird last night, so there must be a message here. What's this message? So he calls over all the Khartoumim, all the Chachamim, to find out what is the message that somebody wants to tell me. He thought maybe it was a Satan. He's the emissary of the Satan. He thought maybe the Satan was trying to tell him something, and something's going to happen. He thought that there was going to be an impending attack on Mitzrayim, that some weak nation was going to get up and destroy all of Mitzrayim. And he wasn't wrong. He wasn't wrong. He was wrong about it being quickly. It's going to happen in another 210 years. But he wasn't totally off. 212 years, I should say. He was right. It's going to happen. The whole reason, Parshas Miketz always comes out of Hanukkah. Every year comes out on Parshas Chanukah. You know the reason why? Because Paro's dream is Mora and what happens with the Avonim. That the Rabim fall to the hands of the Ma'atim. That the Giborim fall to the hands of the Chalashim. That the Tameim fall to the hands of the Torah. That's what Paro's dream stood for. His dream stands for what happened over Hanukkah, and that's the idea behind it. Now we got to go through a little bit more. It says with Paro Cholim, Paro dreamed. It doesn't say Vayachalom Paro. That and he had a dream. But Paro Cholim, that sounds like there's something that needs for him to do. So when Yosef came along and he said to him, I've got an idea. And he really said a crazy little thing over here. He said, V'ato, in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Yera Paro Ish Navon V'Chacham V'Shisel Al Eretz Mitzrayim. Paro should find an understanding and wise man and place him on top of Eretz Mitzrayim. What, all of a sudden he became an advisor to the king? All of a sudden, he gets to make decisions for everybody?
Yeah.
Where does Yosef get that power? Where did he get that power from? Where did he get this idea from that he should go ahead and become this leader on all the everybody else? Where did he get this idea from?
A godly man.
A godly man. But Yosef was just out of jail.
You just say he saw it in the dream also.
That's the shot. that he saw in the dream, that the dream had to be a message dream. From the dream he realized that there's something that I'm supposed to tell you over, that there must be something that you're supposed to do over here. And that's paro cholim. He did something in order to get out. And Yosef told him this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you the ability to circumvent all the ra that is here. You can circumvent all the hunger. Nothing will happen. Nothing bad can happen. But you have to make sure that you follow everything that we're going to say. And if you don't do it, then everything is going to go bad. Everything's going to go bad. The way that they translated seven daughters, seven cities, seven whatever, that was right. There was nothing wrong about that. They were right that that's going to happen. That translation was correct. But Paro said, I don't want to know just that. I want to know what to do in order to get around these things. How do I get around these types of things happening? That's the pshat behind. Isn't it strange? Yosef translated, there's going to be 7 years of satiation, 7 years of famine. Right? There's going to be 7 years of famine. How many years of famine were there?
Three.
Two.
Oh.
Altogether. Not seven. So how could he go against... I mean, Lamaisa, the dream was wrong. His interpretation of the dream was wrong. Because it never happened. Says the Kedushas Levi, the only way it's not going to happen is if you don't listen to the message of the dream. But if you listen to the message of the dream, then it won't be 7 years of famine. That's what he was told. He was told, you're going to have 7 years. It's because of Yaakov coming back in. You're 100% right. And Yaakov caused it to happen. They didn't follow Yosef's words exactly. They went a little bit against it. And that little bit that they went against caused there to be 2 years of famine. And there would have been a little bit more. But this is a way of circumventing that still during those 2 years of famine, at least you'll survive. You'll at least have enough food to be able to survive by collecting the food, by gathering the food, by having somebody in charge or whatever it was. We don't know. But there still was a famine.
But it's interesting that the punishment in a way was lessened because they didn't listen to Yosef. You think that they lose out on years of satiation as opposed to lose out on years of famine.
No, I definitely hear you. But this is all, it's a satiation is a way of getting to the famine. In other words, to survive for the famine itself. That was the point of that.
It doesn't make sense that years of famine should be taken.
That was the whole point. They're not being told that there's going to be 7 years of satiation. You didn't have to do anything for those 7 years to come. That's automatic. This is 7 years of famine that you have to get around. It's those years that you have to do something for. So when they didn't do anything, it's not that you'll take away the stuff that they were supposed to have anyway. God won't take back something that he prophesied for the good. He'll take back something that he prophesied for the bad. That's the 7 years of famine that can be returned.
What did they do better?
Because they did something better. Because if they would have followed him to the key, then it would have been fine. Then those 7 years would have been knocked off. So instead they had two, but they had a way of getting around it by having the food there. So it worked out really well. Worked out really well there. So now, by the way, that's the pshat in Es Elokim Asah, he gave the paro. That which God wants to do, he was telling the paro. He's not telling you stam, he's telling you because you gotta do something. The whole parsha is about you gotta do something. And that's why paro got up. It says, Vayitava Dover Bene Paro Vene Kolavada. You're a paro of other Vanimsa Kazay Yishisharuach Elokimbo. Is there anybody else who can do this? Anybody else who can figure this out? He was able to figure out the message. He knows what's supposed to happen from this thing. So let's give it to him. Let's make him the person in charge. What?
You know, Mike in the morning? Don't just say so. Do stuff.
Ooh, very good. Wow, I always like quoting ESPN. I always like it. Whenever you have a quote from ESPN, you know everything's all good. Okay, so here we go. Yosef is now in the position. He is basically the most powerful, richest person in the world. He has an ability to have almost anything in the world, all the money of the world, and he's the master of the grain. He can give it to whoever he wants. He forces people to get bris milas. That's not normal. It's absolutely not normal. Rav Schwab says it was only to Bnei Yishmael and to Bnei Esav. But still, he was able to force people in a way, I guess, no, because they were chayiv. As machlok, as the Rambam says, of Bnei Yishmael, Bnei Keturah, or chayiv and mila, from Avram Avinu. So it could be that that was that. What? That's a very interesting Rav Schwab. He says there were a bunch of them that came around. I guess you could tell the difference between an Egyptian and Yishmaeli.
Why would you
sure
ask
how they look.
Yosef HaTzadik knows?
Well, yeah, Yosef HaTzadik knows also. Now, okay, so here we go. Now we might be able to understand what Yosef was thinking in not going back to Eretz Canaan. He's now the king, right? Why not go to Eretz Canaan and just be like, hey, Dad, I'm right here. I'm fine. Why not go to the Shvatim? Send a message. Send a messenger. I'm king of Mitzrayim. Not only he didn't send it. For 9 years, he didn't send it. For 9 years when he was king. When he was in jail, I understand. When he was by Potiphar, I can understand. But for 9 years, he didn't do anything. 9 years, he stayed there and he didn't do anything at all. What was the point of him not doing it? Now, he has to have a plan. And then when the Shvatim come down, he doesn't tell them. He puts a mask on or he does something different. The Ramban says he put a mask on. He made himself look strange in the eyes of the Shvatim so they wouldn't know it was him. And then he does all these crazy things.
I hadn't seen
he tells them to do this. And now, if if you want to say that it's revenge, that he wants to take revenge against them, that they threw him into a pit and everything like that, and you want to say that Yosef was a horrible person, he was doing revenge, let's see what happens. When they come down to Mitzrayim, when they come down, what's the first thing? Vayizkor Yosef, Vayakar Yosef Zachov, Tehem Lokiru, he recognized the brothers, they didn't recognize him. Vayizkor Yosef Esachalomos Asher Cholam Lahem. And Yosef remembered the dreams that he dreamed about them. Whoa. And Yosef remembered that they hated him. Yosef remembered that they threw him in a pit. Yosef remembered that they sold him down to Mitzrayim.
No, he remembers the...
Is that what it says? He remembers the dreams, Asher Cholam Lohem, that he dreamed for them. Remember, a dream has a message. What did the Shvatim think about Yosef? They thought that he was thinking about it during the day, thinking about being king over the Shvatim, and therefore what did he dream about at night? He dreamt about being king over the Shvatim. But Yosef knew he never thought about that. He also knew that he didn't eat anything weird. He didn't have the Avraham Inachai that the other brothers were having. He didn't eat any of that stuff. So what was the reason why he was having these dreams? Must be it was for a message. Well, what's that message? What's the message? What's he supposed to learn from those dreams? Here we have a tremendous, tremendous answer over here. We're going to give two things altogether. I'm going to really go through the entire thing. There's a gezeira on Yaakov Avinu that Yaakov had to go into Galus. At some point in Yaakov Avinu's life, he would have to go into Galus. Okay, he had to go. When you go into Galus, when you go into exile, normally you're not going, stop, walking into Galus, like Yaakov actually did, walk down to Mitzrayim. What ends up happening? You put the chains on, and you're thrown down into Egypt. You're thrown down into Egypt. Yaakov had a chiyuv that he was supposed to go down to Eretz Mitzrayim in chains. Supposed to be there in chains. He's supposed to be locked up. He's supposed to be in jail. It's supposed to be hard times. Yosef's dreams were a way to circumvent that, to make sure that Yaakov came down by his own volition, not because he had to go down in chains, not in order to get around. You like the volition, or do you like circumvent? Which one?
Volition.
Smack is my favorite one, but yeah, I'll deal with volition. Smack. The smack is from Calvin and Hobbes. Rafi, do you remember? Smack, yeah, that's right. 100%. So the Ramban, we have to understand this. Hold on a second. The Ramban says that Yosef was trying to be Makayim his dreams. He's trying to make his dreams happen. But you never, have you ever heard of a Navi trying to make sure that his Nevuah happened? Trying to go through to make sure that what he saw, what his prophecy was going to end up happening. You have to go ahead and make sure that it happens? No, if it happens, it happens. And then you talk about it.
That's all
they do is No. They don't try to make sure that it happens. They try to forewarn people.
No, he has a vision that someone's going to be king. She wants a vision.
Hold on.
About him being king, so he goes in here and anoints him. He makes sure that it happens.
I definitely hear you. Is there anything in which, let's say it this way, is there anything in which you're 100% right when it comes to Shmuel and Avi trying to make somebody a king? Is there anything in which you're told a message, and that message you're trying to make sure it happens? In other words, where you gain from it and nobody else, everybody must bow down to you. So Yosef's like, alright, I gotta get them to bow down to me. You have to do that? Where have you ever seen that before in your life? You have to make the future happen. It's like Back to the Future. You're making this happen in order for that to happen. In order for this to happen. What does that mean? Okay, ready? This is how he's got to start the Golos. What did the first dream say? What was the first dream of Yosef HaTzadik?
Stalks of grain.
Stalks of grain. Bowing down to what?
To him.
No.
Towards him. To his father.
The stalks of grain bow down to his stalk of grain that was standing in the middle. All of them were not really able to be seen. Yosef saw through their masks and was able to see what they looked like. It was going to be at a time where they wouldn't be able to recognize one another. And they would be like sheaves of wheat to one another. And at that time, Yosef has to dress up and not look like himself. It wasn't him. It was a stalk of grain. And be mefarnes them. And give them all the grain that they need. Give them everything that they need. That was the point behind that first dream. He saw that. And when they came down and they bowed to him, what was the first thing that he did? He realized that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do right now, in order to make sure that they come down without the chains, as Vayisnachar Aleihem. That's exactly what happened. Vayizkor Yosef Zachalomas Asher Cholam. He remembered the dreams that he had dreamt Lohem, for them. He remembered that there was dreams for them and it was all for their good. Vayomer Aleihem Meraglim Atem.
That's a way to get them put in chains.
What?
That's a way to get them put in chains. Instead of just saying, they're my brothers, then, they get a royal parade down to Egypt.
He accused them of being spies.
And he wasn't sure. Yes, 100%. He wasn't sure what they would say. Remember, Yaakov, remember that there's a toeva in eating with white people in Mitzrayim. It was reverse racism. The Egyptians couldn't eat with these people. There's obviously something that was different between the Egyptians and all the people in Eretz Canaan, that they hated them. He never knew what was going to happen. He saw what was going to happen. So what he did was, he saw from the dream by Yisnakar Alam. He remember how he did it. Perhaps he needed to stay hidden. And it would look like Gullus. Are you ready for this? Maybe the Gullus was that he would be the king while they were in Gullus. They would never know that Yosef was the king. Maybe his job was to stay hidden his whole life. And for the Shvatim to live in Mitzrayim, and Yaakov to live in Mitzrayim, and for them to have everything they need and everything they could ever want, they would have everything. And Yosef would never say who he was. And that would be the plan. To never state outright, here I am. This is who I am. From to hide from behind. And Yaakov would never know Yosef was still alive. And the Shvatim would never know that Yosef was the king of Mitzrayim. And then eventually, Yosef would die, and his kids would take over. And there'd be hidden kings throughout all of Mitzrayim, hidden Jewish kings that were always around taking care of everybody. And nobody would have any idea that they were Jewish. Nobody would have any idea. Maybe that was the plan. Yosef HaTzadik had no idea. But the problem was, at the end, he couldn't hold himself back. And Lamai said, that's also depicted by the second dream. What happened in the second dream? The sun and the moon and the stars bowed down to
Yosef.
Yosef was straight out. That's when the second dream had to happen. And the second dream showed him that as much as he can try to do that, Lamaisa, it wasn't going to go through. He wasn't able to hide himself all he could. He was able to bring them down, but there eventually was going to be Avdus in Mitzrayim. And he tried so hard to hold himself back, so hard to keep himself from crying, keep himself from doing anything. He had to go into the other room, do this, do that in order to get around. But he couldn't do it. At the end of the day, he couldn't keep it down. He couldn't help himself down. And he just couldn't do it. That, by the way, is an idea that was there last year. I mentioned this last year. There's one board that I got from Rav Schwab and all that. Rav Schwab did add on to that. But the idea is basically from the same thing that we had from last year. All right, one last thing. A Gadol Ador, we have to understand Yosef's greatness. A Gadol Ador usually can't hide the fact that he's so great. I mean, if you have a Gadol Ador, a tzaddik, you can somewhat tell that the guy is a tzaddik. Eliyahu HaNavi, you can't tell. Eliyahu HaNavi dresses himself up as anybody. He could be anyone. You have no idea. But a regular tzaddik, you look at him and you say, that guy's a tzaddik. He can't hide himself like that. Well, how in the world could Yosef tzaddik not be recognized by the Shvatim? They couldn't see the difference between an Egyptian and a tzaddik? The regular Egyptians all around. He's going all around him. Excuse me to say it that way. And Yosef tzaddik is sitting right there. He's probably shining like a light. He's still learning while he's in Mitzrayim. All of a sudden, they can't see that he's a tzaddik? How could they not realize that? So there's this. Yonas ben Uziel was one of the Talmidim of Hillel. It's a Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph, that says that Yonas ben Uziel was so great. One of the Talmidim was known as the greatest of the 80 Talmidim of Hillel HaZaken. So great that when he learned Torah, that a bird that went overhead would burn up, spontaneously combust. That would be awesome. Absolutely awesome. So can you imagine what Hillel was like? Let's go with his Rebbe. What was Hillel like? He must have made clouds erupt. So they had like planes destroyed. I mean, that's a great power.
He had enough power not to have that happen.
Very good. Hillel had enough power that he was able to stop it from blowing up. He was able to learn with the same fire, even greater fire than Yonas ben Uziel, but the bird wouldn't blow up when it go over his head. You know what the shot is behind Hillel? He was a tzaddik who was able to hold himself back. He's able to close himself off and turn off the fire. That's not so pashut. To be a tzaddik and a gadol and turn off your fire when you need to? You can't stam do that. Eliyahu HaNavi can do it. But stam a person can't do it. Yosef HaTzaddik could do it. Says the Sfas Emes, a real tzaddik like Yosef can conceal himself to the point that he could be mistaken for a goy. Where the Shvatim could look at him and think that he's a goy. What's by his knacker aleihem? Says the Ramban, he put on a mask. You know what the pshat behind that is? Says the Sfas Emes. He made himself look as if he's not Jewish. He didn't do anything to himself. He looked the exact same. He looked like Yaakov Avinu. but he turned himself off to the point where the Shvatim Mamish saw him as being a Rasha. They saw him as a Goy. They saw him as a Mitzri king. They didn't see him as being Jewish. They couldn't see the fact that he was white. They couldn't see the fact that he was had a light shining from him. On the inside, he was a Gadol Ador. On the outside, he made himself look like a Mitzri. That was the power of Yosef HaTzadik. Where do you get that power from? How do you get such power? It's a very strange thing over here. Mem Aleph Nun Aleph says the following. Yosef had two children before the hunger came. Actually, Yodolo Osnas Bas Potifar Koinon that Osnas gave birth to. Vayikra Yosef Shem Bechor Menashe. He called the oldest one Menashe. Kinashani Elokim Eskol Amali Veskol Besavi. Because God made me forget all of my toil and all of the house of my father. Now this sounds like, Kol Amali, sounds like in Pshat, you'd have to say that Hashem made me forget my toil. That means he made me forget all the bad things that happened when I grew up in my parents' house. You know, I forgot about it all. That's the Pashup Pshat. But Amal, what's Amal? Amelus Be Torah. Amelus applies to Torah. So it sounds like he's saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me forget all my Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me forget all my Torah learning. And he's thanking God. He's saying, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for making me forget my Torah learning. What do you mean? Why is he thanking God? He should cry. He should fast. He should say, I can't believe I just lost all my Torah over here. I can't believe it. What's he doing? He's naming his kid after that. That's number one. Number two, there's a medrash on this pasuk. It says that a great nes happened. A great nes happened when Yosef named his child Menashe. A great nace had happened. What nace happened? He lost his learning? That's a nace? What kind of a nace happened over here? So here we go. There's two types of Torah. There's Torah Eretz Yisrael, and there's Torah Bavel. Torah Eretz Yisrael is called Manimin Zezeh, or Mishamnin Zezeh. They help out each other. They pleasure each other. They say, each one of them says to each other, whatever you don't get, I'll help you understand. That's how Torah Eretz Yisrael goes. Torah Bavel, it's called Merurin. And it's also called Mechablin Zezeh. They fight each other to the death. They're bitter. They're bitter. That's Torah's Bavel. Reb Zera, when he went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, fasted 100 days. 100 days to forget Talmud Bavli. To forget all the Torah learning he had learned when he was in Bavel. 100 days he fasted in order to get rid of all of it. So what's the pshat? The pshat is in Eretz Yisrael, what you have to do in order to understand somebody and to understand what you're saying clearer is to hear what the other person says, understand it, take it in, and then fight back with rayas and svaras. You have to hear what he's saying. First, you got to hear what the other guy's talking about. If you close the guy off and you say you're dead wrong, or you have something against the guy in the first place, and you think he's stupid to begin with, you can't even hear the kasha, then you're not going to come down to the emes. The MS is not going to be shown. You're not going to clearly see anything. But if you take the question, you say, oh, that's a good question, and you try to answer it, and you try answering it in the best way, you'll come up with a svara, then you'll come up with something clearer, then you'll come up with something different, and then you'll come up with another thing, and all of a sudden your side is clearer than it ever was before. All of a sudden, in Torah Eretz Yisrael, where they accepted what other people did, they were able to understand everything better, and then they understood themselves and saying, oh, now it comes a little bit clearer. Now I can explain it a little bit better. Now I can tell you more than what I was able to do before. But in Bavel, all they want to do is to prove their point and prove the other guy wrong. Torah's Bavel seemed to work as chavrusas that just couldn't stand each other, and they kept yelling at each other until finally they knocked each other down. Well, then it's not clear. Then you never got anything clear. And that's where the Gemara's line of Ein lo moach b'kadkado, the guy doesn't have any brain in his head, or the line of, what's the line? What's the line? It's Ein lo moach b'kadkado, and he is, oh, Rachmana Nitzlan Mehai Daitcha. May God save us from a das like yours, from a mind like yours. Like, that's where it comes from, because that's Torah's Bavel. Torah's Bavel, you're wrong. Yosef and the Shvatim defined Torah's Bavel. That's what they defined. How do we know that? Yosef didn't understand the Shvatim's ideas in why they were eating every Minachai. Why are you? What are you guys doing eating every Minachai? Oh, we have a svara. Yosef, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're dead wrong. It's like, well, what are you making fun of the Shvatim for? The Bnei Shvachos for? The Bnei Shvachos, I'm sorry. Well, we have a svara. You're wrong, said Yosef. You're dead wrong. What are you guys going in? I'm sorry? 100%, but it's Torah's bubble. Torah's bubble can still exist in Eretz Yisrael. Reb Zera had to fast to get rid of it. So he went ahead and he told them. And he said to them, and he said, what are you guys dealing with these women for? Oh, there's a Tosfos. You're wrong, said Yosef. And he went to Yaakov and he said, you're getting it wrong. They're totally wrong. He didn't hear where they were coming from. The Shpatim didn't understand where Yosef was coming from. They heard him, and they said, you're dead wrong. To the point where they mamish thought that Yosef was Chayiv Misa. That's how bad that they thought they didn't understand Yosef at Tzaddik. They didn't understand Yosef at all. It was mamish. He thought their heterim were garbage. They thought your Yisurim are garbage. You're going to be machmar on yourself. No, you're going to be nikol on yourself. They started yelling at each other. Yelling at each other. That's Torah's bubble, to the point where they hated each other. When Yosef came down to Mitzrayim, he lost all of that learning. Torah's bubble, because he didn't have a chavrusa anymore to argue with. And when he didn't have that chavrusa to say that you're wrong to, and try to prove in order to knock the guy down, he lost all his learning. And an ace happened. And he started remembering his learning with an ability to hear what the other guy is saying and accept it. He started learning in Mitzrayim, Torah's Eretz Yisrael. Started thinking to himself, oy vey, that's why I couldn't understand the Shvatim. Now I get what their pshat is. It is mutter to have Eivra Min Achai. It is mutter to go ahead and deal with those women. It is mutter to make fun of the Bnei Shvachos in a certain type of a way. When he started understanding them and realizing how he was wrong and he got that Torah Eretz Yisrael, he said, Kinoshani Elokim es kol amoi. Baruch Hashem, God made me forget all of my Torah learning from Bavel. From Bavel, really, in Eretz Yisrael. My Torah learning when I didn't get it. When I just didn't get it. That's the pshat. And that's why he's called the son Menashe. Anybody that can get to that point is a tzaddik. That person is a gadol. That person is a Talmud Chacham who's on the level, not like anybody else. That's the idea behind it. So I'll ask you one question to end it off. Why don't we paskin like Torah's Eretz Yisrael? What happened to Torah's Eretz Yisrael? Why don't we paskin like instead of Torah's bubble? A very simple answer. Pshat is that Torah's Eretz Yisrael is so clear. We, with our minds, where we just want to knock people down and we don't care what other people have to say, we don't fathom it. We don't understand it. We don't understand Torah's Eretz Yisrael. It's like Shamayim. It's Shamayim Dikatora. It's Torah that's beyond this world and we can't understand it. That's why we don't pass on like the Yerushalmi, we pass on like the Bavli. We understand the method of learning of Talmud Bavli better than we understand the method of learning of Talmud Eretz Yisrael. It's a mile to attain. But not too many people can do it. So that we paskin like the Rove. We paskin like most of the world. The most of the world go with Talmud Bavli and they don't go with Talmud Eretz Yisrael. They don't know how to learn like Talmud Eretz Yisrael. And that's the shot behind it. That's to be on their level is a tremendous, tremendous thing. But that was Yosef at Tzaddik's level, and that brought him to the point where he was such a tzaddik where he could turn himself off. That's the idea behind it. All right, guys, we'll stop with that. Shkach.